Gregory Crewdson's images occupy that space between fantasy and fact, large-scale, incredibly crisp photographs of the perfect suburbia gone noir.
I'm very interested in what Out describes the uncanny, and that's a certain kind of mystery in everyday life. And for me, the twilight period suggests a moment where things are defamiliarized, when things that are sort of perceived as ordinary or familiar are transformed into something unexpected.
Crewdson took two series of photographs in the Berkshire suburbs of Lee, Massachusetts, where he commandeered whole neighborhoods, filling backyards and streets with ziggurats of flowers, casting sheds and homes in an eerie glow, and letting stuffed wild animals roam the streets.
Obviously, I use photography, but I think ultimately I would call myself a kind of imagist. And often an image will arise to me, usually while I'm swimming. I think it's something about being sort of in that kind of disassociative state that allows your imagination to sort of that womb-like state or something.
Crewdson's dad was a shrink. As a boy, the younger Crewdson would eavesdrop on his father's sessions as he listened from above through the wooden floor of the family's Brooklyn brownstone. Not that he could really hear much, so he invented the client's stories.
Perhaps, like, at the most, I could hear a low rumbling of sound. I think that's one of my earliest aesthetic experiences of, like, projecting those images, or sort of projecting a kind of fantasy. I was hovering.
In his series called Hover, Crewdson shot the homes of Lee outdoors from a high vantage point, looking down much as he did as a child. He enlisted local help, including tree surgeon Bill Markham and his 12-ton crane, to haul Crewdson and his 8x10 camera up in the bucket to take the black and white pictures.
One of my concerns sometimes was trying to put it into somebody's yard, looking at overhead obstructions we had to deal with, and then being able to put Gregory in the position he wanted to be in, working around houses and trees and wires, and trying to get him in the actual vantage point he wanted to be, sometimes it wasn't as easy as he thinks.
Still, Markham kept working with Crewdson through Hover and on into the Big Crew color extravaganzas of the Twilight series.
I tried to point out things that I thought would look more realistic for his pictures, because I think that's what he wanted them to look as, realistic, but not really, well, I guess everyday or normal life, but from a different point of view and a different twist on them.
Basically, they brought all the sod in, covered the whole floor with the plastic.
Kathy Morrow.
Covered the whole thing with bags of sod, just kept opening bags of sod. They took the shot from here into the dining room. Plants everywhere. They actually ran a garden hose from the back door up and over the counter, so it ran here. That light was on. The way they shot the picture was, it had made it look like the sunbeams were coming through this window. The hutch was there. The only thing that was moved was the table. That was there also. And basically it was just completely covered with flowers and mulch and soil.
As Crewdson moved his work down to ground level, he transformed the dining and living rooms of Kathy and Tom Morowick's ranch house.
It was neat. It was very neat. I mean, some of his ideas are just, I mean, you say, this is totally out there, but then you see the work and you say, this is, like, very, very neat. Very interesting. And, you know, with the, just where somebody would come up with an idea of filling somebody's dining room with flowers is beyond me.
Though Kathy says they cleaned up nicely and she got to keep some of the plants. One of the photographs taken in the Morowicks' home shows a woman lying on the floor and a boy naked to the waist, his open hand just above a red welted circle on the woman's bare belly. The door is open. Two coyotes look in. Kathy admits she doesn't know what the picture is about, but she's proud of her home's part in it.
Yeah, I guess my house is a movie star, and I wish I was.
There is a cinematic element to Crewdson's images. Just like a film director, the artist, the auteur, creates a world. In that sense, Gregory Crewdson is much like another famous Berkshire imagist, Norman Rockwell.
Somebody once described my work as Norman Rockwell meets Norman Bates. And, you know, obviously I love that association or that coming together. Because, firstly, I've always been interested in Norman Rockwell's work precisely because of its kind of myth-making capacity, and that he takes a town like I do and the inhabitants of the town and tries to construct a perfect world out of it. And that's what I do, through a kind of repressive aesthetic, which is what I do.
That control goes from shoot to display. Several negatives are combined and processed digitally to give one accurate picture, as Crudson sees it. There is no visible grain or pixels, no visual noise of any kind.
I don't want photography to intrude. I want, almost paradoxically, all the production and post-production to be in service of constructing a world, like a window into a world. And I want that world to be as seamless as possible. So even when it's an image is quite fantastical, such as the woman sort of floating in the living room, I want it to be presented with such sort of overwhelming detail and description that it becomes a kind of believable fiction.
These fictional documents are now back in the Berkshires, next door to the real thing. For Studio 360, I'm Karen Michelle.
Pictures from Gregory Crudson's Hover and Twilight series are on view in an exhibition called Fantastic at the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art.